Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight I want to talk to you about the creative power of prayer. I want to talk to you about the creative power of prayer. This is something I've been thinking about now for several weeks and just been thinking about how prayer, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has the ability or the result of creating in our lives new circumstances, new situations, new seasons. We've come tonight to pray, and it's a powerful, powerful thing when people pray. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about that, and maybe from a little different vantage point. The Bible says that mankind, that when God created us, he made us in his image and likeness. I don't know what if you've ever thought much about that. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? And there are many things that we could say about that. Part of it is our eternality, our sense of eternity. Part of it is, the Bible says he's placed eternity in the hearts of men. Part of it is our capacity for creation, to create. So when you see artistry or you see craftsmanship or you see people do things, I think that's part of the being made in the image of God. What sets us apart from the animals is our ability to plan ahead, to think ahead, to plan for a year from now, 2 years from now. But something else that I think it means as well is that, and it has something to do with prayer and with the power of prayer. When Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, the first thing God did, and just, I say this kind of as an aside, but I think it's good for us to settle this in our heart, because a lot of people get very uncomfortable with talking about God blessing, and they're like, well, God wants to do more than bless. And that, you know, I would say this, what God does is bless. Now, he does his blessing in a variety of ways. But I find it really interesting that at the beginning, that when God puts man and woman in the garden, the first thing he does, not the second thing, not the third thing, not a, oh, and by the way, the first thing he does is he blesses them, which says something about what God wants to do in your life. God is a God who wants to bless his people. And then what God does is God gives them a job. And God gives them a charge. God says, what I want you to do is I want you to subdue the earth, and I want you to rule over the earth. So let's look at it in Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. So he blesses them, and then he says to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over it, and then he gives all the realms of their rule. And so their job is to name the animals. Remember, God brings the animals to Adam, and Adam is this perfect man. He's got this wonderful, creative mind, undiminished by sin. He's got, no doubt, the ability to think at a level that would be amazing, and I would imagine far beyond our ability. He names the animals. He organizes things, maintains things that God the Creator has made. And the Bible seems to imply this, as you read that creation account, is that before sin entered the world, his creative power was effortless. That he did it without effort. But after sin, suddenly things get hard. So watch what happens. It says this, cursed is the ground, man, Adam and Eve sin, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. So the text implies that up to this point, remember, God put them in the Garden of Eden, and his charge to them was to tend the garden, to take care of it, and apparently tending the garden didn't require any sweat. didn't require any toil, any work. It was never painful. Now, I want you to just think about that for a moment. We're in winter, so nobody's really gardening much unless you run in a greenhouse or something. But, I mean, think about it. You're out there mowing the grass. You're out there trimming the bushes. You're doing that kind of thing. And for most people, that involves sweat. That involves an expenditure of energy. You get tired. Maybe if you trim a lot of bushes, maybe your back is kind of sore. Like the next day, you're like, wow, you know, I'm feeling it there. So there's a measure of work to that. Even if you enjoy it, there's a measure of work to it. Now, the question then is, how did Adam and Eve garden without it being a lot of work? I mean, how do you maintain a garden? You have to believe the Garden of Eden was huge. You have to believe it was beautiful. So it's not like they're just walking around the garden looking at the trees and you know, eating. You have to believe the food in there was, oh man, it had to be the best. And so they're eating stuff, but they're not just eating and looking. They're taking care of the garden. They're managing the garden. How did they do that? Have you ever thought about that? What that was like if it didn't involve work? Some believe that God originally designed people to work through speaking. Much in the same way that God created the world. For example, in Genesis 1:3, God says, "Let there be light." And there was light. If you want to get a view of how God does gardening, here it is. In Genesis 1, "Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds." And it was so. Wouldn't that be awesome? You're looking at your yard and you're saying, "And let there be a fruit tree, pear, I think." And it was so. Would that not be awesome? "And let those bushes be trimmed." And it was so. "And let those flowers, let flowers grow there." And it, I mean, like, are you digging that? Like, I'm digging that. I mean, like, that is like, that's my kind of gardening. I am saying, "Lord, restore the earth." That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And God saw that it was good. No wonder. I mean, he says it. It falls into place. It happens. But what some scholars theorize happened is that when Adam and Eve sinned, God essentially took some of that creative power away. As if to say, from now on, you're going to have to work for what you need. And yet I want to suggest to you that even within the context of fallen mankind, words have creative power. I mean, think about this. You can create the framework for your marriage by the words you speak. You know, our words will determine whether we have, in a lot of ways, whether we have a good marriage or we have a crummy marriage. Whether we have a stress-filled marriage or whether we have a marriage that brings joy. Words literally create the context of much of our lives. We create the context. We can have a blessed marriage or a broken marriage. We can have a blessed family or a broken family. We can have kids. I mean, I invariably, week after week, I meet people whose life, whose context, whose situation is a result of words that were spoken to them many times as a kid. And they spend the rest of their life living with that, reacting to that, working through that because of the creative power of words. I mean, I can tell you this, at your work, where you work, your words will either result in blessing in your life or cursing in your life. They'll either result in you being productive and out of that experiencing a measure of blessing, or your words can create a situation where it doesn't go well for you at work. Words have creative power. That's why the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 18, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." In the NLT, the tongue can bring death or life. So what does all this have to do with prayer in the prayer meeting? Basically, prayer is faith-filled speech. That would be a one definition you could use of prayer. It's a faith-filled conversation with God. That's what prayer is. Did you know that we can produce work by faith rather than by sweat? I mean, Paul says that to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We continue to remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith. I mean, I'm not suggesting we don't have to sweat to produce. I'm just saying that there is something about faith that produces the advancement of the kingdom of God. The work of God advances through faith. Now, let me give you a little prayer equation here, and we'll bring it up. God's will plus faith plus spoken words equals answered prayer. What I want to suggest to you, and I've thought a lot about this, because I really think, the more I think about it, the more I think it is certainly true. Prayer is the means by which that which was once lost in the garden is in part restored to man. Prayer is the means by which that which was once lost in the garden, the creative capacity, the capacity of words to creatively bring about the will of God. What was God's will? Tend the garden. I mean, Adam and Eve spent time with God. The Bible says this, they walked with God in the cool of the day. The cool of the day was the first part of the day, not the end of the day. So Adam and Eve would get up in the morning, and they would go for a walk with God. And as they went for a walk with God, God, no doubt, I mean, you know, God friendship is for God worshipers. Psalm 25 says they're the ones he confides in. So they're walking with God, and God is confiding with them, and God is talking with them, and they're talking to him. That's what our prayer life should look like. It's not just, God, here's the list for today. I need this, 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 I need this. Bye. If you did that with any other person in your life, they would run from you. You would have very little relationship with them. But prayer is a means of being with God, understanding God's will, just like Adam and Eve. They walk with him, they understand his will, they know his will, and through their words, they brought his will into existence. Prayer has that same tenor and tone to it. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 5. And we are confident, that is, we've got faith, that he hears us. Isn't that awesome to know God hears us? When you and I pray, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, boom. He's listening. He hears us. Whenever we ask for anything that pleases him, how do you know what pleases him? Well, I'm reading the Bible. I'm spending time with him. I'm sensing what God is doing, because when I pray in accordance with the will of God, those are the things that please God. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, because we're asking the things we by faith know he hears us, we're asking the things we know please him, we also know, watch this, that he will give us what we ask for, that our words through prayer coupled with faith and a knowledge of God's will result creatively, they bring about the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a very interesting thing. God's will plus faith plus spoken words equals answered prayer. Now watch this. I mean, because I think, you know, for some people, you'd be like, you really think it has that creative capacity. This is Jesus now talking in Mark chapter 11. Look at this. The next day they were leaving Bethany, and Jesus was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. This is Jesus doing a little gardening. Now watch what happens. Verse 20. And in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. It's gone. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." In just overnight, it's withered down to nothing. And Jesus answered, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I mean, creative gardening. You can even move the pile of dirt. You know, who needs the big dump trucks? Move. Wouldn't that be awesome? Dirt flying through the air and landing. I mean, Jesus is saying, what he's saying is that words spoken according to the will of God, embracing faith in God's power, result in God creatively working through them to accomplish his will. It's very, very interesting. Yeah, and this has everything to do with prayer. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Listen, prayer is the means by which that which was once lost in the garden is restored to man. When you and I pray, musicians, you can come, powerful things happen. I just want you to get a sense of that, that what we want to do is we're here in the presence of the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. We're in his presence. Listen, as you're walking with the Lord, God is going to begin to speak to your heart. He's going to begin to prompt your heart. Here's the way I see prayer working. First of all, when we come to God in prayer, we're admitting that we can't do it on our own, which is the best place. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus already told us, apart from me, you can do nothing. Settle it in your heart. On your own, on my own, we're not going to make it very far. But when I come to God, what I'm saying is, God, this is beyond me. And you know what? I've just concluded everything's beyond me. That I need his help in every aspect of my life. I need him to help me. And you know, here's what that does. When I come to God, when you don't pray, what you're saying is, I got this. I can handle this. Which is the same as saying, God, I don't need you. God, I'm as, really what you're saying is, God, I can do as well as you can do. I don't need your help because I can handle this. I wouldn't gain anything by praying to you, so why should I pray? Because I can do as good as you can, which is pride, straight up pride. Not to pray is to have a pride, a self-sufficient pride that says, I've got this. And you know what the Bible says about pride? God resists the proud. It's literally, he puts his hand up against the proud. He stiff arms the proud. He holds them at arm's length. He's not going to help the proud person. But the verse says, he gives grace. He gives favor to the humble. To the person who says, God, I got to have your help. God's like, oh, you look to me. And over again in the Bible, those who look to the Lord will never be disappointed. They'll never be put to shame. They'll never say, I look to you and you just like failed me. Not going to happen. God is going to help people who look to him. Number two, we're lining up with God's will through prayer. We're lining up with his will. Because you see, what happens is I'm in his presence, and as I'm going to him and saying, I need your help, what God's going to begin doing is he's going to begin revealing himself and his will to our heart. You say, well, I don't know what to pray on this situation. Then say, God, my marriage is a mess, and I don't even know where to start on this, but I know you want to heal it. And Lord, I just need you to touch me, and I need you to touch my mate, and I need you to do what only you can do. That's a really, really good prayer. Lining up with God's will, whatever you know from the Word of God to be his will. This is why you got to read the Word of God, because when you read the Word of God, he's gonna clue you in on his will. But I would say this to you. There's times you're just in his presence worshiping. A really great part of prayer is just being in his presence, worshiping him. And as you are, God's going to reveal, He's going to put things in your heart. You're going to feel things about situations that maybe you weren't even thinking about, or situations you are, where God's going to put things in your heart. You begin to pray about them. Third, we're exercising faith. We're exercising faith by lining up with His will. Now we're saying, God, I need your help. God, I believe this is your will, and I believe you're going to do something about what I'm praying about. I mean, the very act of prayer is an expression of faith. Can a person pray without faith? Sure, because a person can pray without praying. A person can pray thoughtlessly, carelessly, just kind of not even engaging God. But when you're full on or saying, God, I believe this is your will, and I'm calling on you, and you're praying, and you're that's faith. And faith, God honors faith. I mean, Hebrews chapter 11 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I go to prayer because I believe God will answer prayer. I go to prayer because I know this, that even if I'm praying for something that isn't exactly what God wants to do, He's gonna honor my faith in Him and do what He knows is best in my situation. And I trust Him to do that, because honestly, I don't want one thing He doesn't want me to have. I always do better in my praying and in my seeking of God and in my walking with God and my experience of His peace if I start with that as my premise. God, there's not one thing. There's a lot of things I could think I need and a lot of things I could think I desire. But Lord, let me just say up front, I don't want anything you don't want me to have. And I don't want to have any outcome you don't want me to experience. I want what you want. I think our minds, as we're praying, are enlightened. What happens is, I'm in His presence, I'm sensing His will, my mind is enlightened, and all of a sudden, God puts things in our mind that change how we're going to approach something. So we're praying for a meeting, we're praying about a situation, a circumstance, and all of a sudden, God puts something in our mind. And you say, well, Lord, help me to do that, because sometimes God puts things in our mind that are really outside of our personality. Do you know what I'm saying? Our personal style. And so God puts things in your heart, and this is what you're going to need to do in that situation. And when you're praying, suddenly you find what you wouldn't normally do. You suddenly, by praying about it, you find you begin to get comfortable with it where you would do it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's really an amazing thing. Prayer doesn't just get things done on the exterior of our life. Prayer changes me on the interior and makes me do what I wouldn't. It changes me and equips me to do what I wouldn't maybe do as a part of my personal style normally. Fifth, our words take on a supernaturally creative power. You know what? When I begin to pray for my marriage, there's a power to that. You pray for your marriage, it will change your marriage. You pray for your children, it will change your children. You pray for situations you're dealing with, it will change them. I'm just telling you, it will change them. God will change people's hearts. God will change people's minds. God will change outcomes. I'm just telling you, it's true. I've seen it a bazillion times, and especially in this season of grace in the church, there are just some things that, I mean, just this week, I mean, honestly, an amazing answer to prayer. Amazing. You say, what was it? I can't tell you. Vision Sunday, okay? Supernatural things begin to happen. That's the thing, supernatural things, things that aren't natural. If it's not natural, it's supernatural. Things you're like, whoa, where'd that come? Prayer. You know what? I'm just telling you, when you pray, things change. When you pray, things happen. So then, pray, pray, pray. And as you do, by way of encouragement, recognize that those words that come from your lips, birthed from a heart that has spent time in God's presence, those words have creative power. Listen, when we pray tonight, things are changing. The world's different because we prayed tonight. In a big way, because we're all praying, the world's different. Weather changes when people pray. Finances change when people pray. I'm just telling you, things change when people pray. Whatever you're going to pray about in these next few moments, there's a creative power about that. Energized by the Spirit, your words have power. By your words, Jesus said, you'll be acquitted. By your words, you'll be condemned. Words can bring life. Words can bring death. Words can be used by God to bring about His creative working in the circumstances of your life and the lives of people you pray for and care about. Prayer is very, very powerful. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, I thank you that what we're doing here tonight is eternally significant. It's not ordinary, it's extraordinary. It's not natural, it's supernatural. It's not just a mindless exchange, it is a powerful working of your Spirit that will bring about life change in our hearts and in the situations and in the hearts of the people we pray for, that you, oh God, have restored something that was lost in paradise, that you bring back through relationship with you, that creative power to bring about your will in circumstance by prayer. That if we say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will happen. Lord, may we pray with that kind of faith, that kind of expectancy, that kind of fervency tonight, understanding amazing things are going to happen as we do. With that in mind, what I'd like to do is open the altar. It's a place of prayer. It's a place to really get a hold of God and really seek God. Something about stepping out and saying, you know what, I'm doing this deal. I'm going to see what God does in this. There's something about doing that when you and I do that, when we take that step of faith and then we couple it with words from our lips, declaring our need for God and His working in our life, amazing things happen. So the altar's open. Come on, let's call on God. Let's believe that God creatively is going to work powerfully in our situation. Let's fill in the altars. Let's call on Him after a bit. We'll pray. We'll sing.